Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The chapter on the prohibition of exaggerating the pious people and the saints. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salam ala Rasulih al-Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma aminna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima'anamtana wa zidna ilma. As-salallaha an yuwafiqna lima yuhibbuhu wa yarda. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very nice to see you, brothers, and congratulations for coming to this lesson, inshallah, in the Tawheed. May Allah bless you and accept from you and make it beneficial for us, inshallah. The last chapter that we had covered in the book Kitab al-Tawheed was regarding the futility in calling on the creation and the words of the Prophet ﷺ to his daughter Aisha. He said, "Take from my wealth whatever you desire, but I will not be able to save you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So now we continue and we go to the next chapter, which is similar to the last chapter. This chapter is actually entitled a verse of the Quran. Shaykh As-Sa'di, he comments on this chapter, which is entitled إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. The title of this chapter is the verse that Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, "Indeed, you do not you do not guide those whom you love, but Allah guides whom He pleases." And then also there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when his uncle Abu Talib was close to death. The Prophet ﷺ, he came to him and he asked him, "Please say La ilaha illallah so that I can argue on your behalf in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment." Then Abu Talib, when he was there, also Abu Jahl came, and Abdullah ibn Umayyah. These were two disbelievers, and they told Abu Jahl, they told Abu Talib, "Are you going to turn away from the religion of Abdul Muttalib, our grandfather? Are you going to leave the religion of our ancestors?" So then Abu Talib, he said that he remained on the religion of his ancestors, and he did not say La ilaha illallah. Yes.
And this guy, he knew that from hundreds less.
Abu Talib was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. He took care of him when he was a young boy. He protected him. He, he was very, very beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. He loved him so much, and he wished that Allah would guide him at that last moment before he died. He just wished that Allah would open his heart to say La ilaha illallah. But he didn't say it. He did not say it. He refused to say it. And then, not only that, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "I will ask Allah to forgive him unless Allah forgives me. Unless Allah says or forbids me from doing that." And then Allah revealed the verse that He said, "It is not for the Prophet and those who believe to seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen." Yes. Yes. Surah
to
Tawbah. That's right. That's right. Yes. Abu Talib, the question was brought up last time, is that the Prophet ﷺ, we mentioned in that intercession is only for the people of Tawheed. The intercession where the Prophet ﷺ, he will ask Allah to save some people from the hellfire and also to enter the people into paradise. So how come the Prophet ﷺ interceded for Abu Talib? The ulama, they say that he did not save Abu Talib from the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ did not save Abu Talib from the hellfire. Abu Talib is still in the hellfire. But because of his intercession, it was a very special intercession that's only for Abu Talib, that Allah lessened the punishment in the hellfire. Allah didn't give him the great punishment of the hellfire, but even that little punishment, the fire is up to his ankles, up to his sandals, it boils the brain. So that was a special intercession only for Abu Talib. It won't be for any of the other mushrikeen, because Allah does not give permission for other mushrikeen. Okay, so in this chapter here, basically the Shaykh As'adi rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, he makes one point, which is that the Prophet ﷺ, just like he could not save his daughter Fatima on the Day of Judgment, he does not have the power to guide anybody. This chapter, it shows us that the Prophet ﷺ, who's the best of the creation, right? The Prophet ﷺ is the best of all the creation. He's the best prophet. He's the best thing that was ever created with Allah. He has the highest status with Allah. And he is the most beloved, closest to Allah. But in spite of that, he does not have the power to guide anybody. He doesn't have the guidance of the heart. Guiding the hearts is something that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he could not guide the most beloved uncle to him. And this shows you that all guidance is in whose hands?
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any guidance on the face of the earth, no human being, no other created power has any authority over it. The only one who can guide is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the hearts are in Allah's hands. He's the one who created them, and he's the one who guides them. This is a very important point to realize, because therefore we should not ask for guidance from anything of the creation. Right? When we realize that it's only Allah who guides, then we ask for the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then the question comes up, if we look in the Quran, there's another verse that says, indeed you guide to a straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, indeed you guide, innaka latahdi ila siratin mustaqim. So somebody might ask, you know, what does this mean? You guide to a straight path. Didn't we just say that only Allah is the one who can guide the hearts of people? Yes?
Because the Prophet does what he tells you. He does what Allah asks.
The Prophet does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him. But does the Prophet have the power to guide people's hearts? No. So that's not what is meant by this ayah, that you guide to a straight path. What is meant by this ayah then? What's meant here is that you explain, you present the guidance to people. They call this hidayat al-bayan. The Prophet ﷺ, his job is the bayan, to explain. He cannot cause people to be guided. It's not in his power. But he can give the bayan to the people. He can give the explanation. They call the first type hidayat al-tawfiq. Allah is the one who can guide the hearts. He can put the light of guidance into the heart. The Prophet ﷺ does not have that power. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet ﷺ the Qur'an. So by reciting the Qur'an, he is guiding the people by explaining to them the signs of Allah. But that guidance is only an explanation. It's up to Allah to put the guidance in their heart. You know, he's just showing them the way, basically. He's showing them the right path. He's explaining the Qur'an to them. And then it's up to them whether they want to follow it or not. Okay, so this is an explanation of how the Prophet ﷺ, he's the one who conveys the message, the wahi that comes to him from Allah. And he guides mankind by explaining the verses of Allah. But can the Prophet ﷺ put the acceptance in the hearts of people? No. He can tell them the Qur'an, he can tell them the ayahs, he can tell them the commandments of Allah, he can explain to them the proofs, but in the end, the guidance is in Allah's hands. That's why his uncle Abu Talib, no matter how much he loved his uncle and how much his uncle did for him, he said, say La ilaha illallah. He showed him, he explained to him, his whole life he was explaining to him Islam. But in the end, the guidance is from Allah. So what do we learn from this chapter? We learn that the Prophet ﷺ, although he is the best of creation, he's the messenger of Allah, but we shouldn't raise him to the point where we ask him for guidance. No, the guidance is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, he could not guide his own uncle. You know, the guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the next chapter here is about the exaggeration in the righteous people. And maybe after the salah, maybe we'll take 5-10 minutes to finish that chapter, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Any questions on the two types of guidance? Is that clear? There's the guidance of the hearts, which is called the tawfiq from Allah, and there's the guidance of explanation. And this is what all of us, we do. And this is what you guide to a straight path, meaning you show the way to the straight path. The other verse, you do not guide whom you love, meaning you do not guide their hearts, but only Allah guides whom He wills. Naam. Jazakallah khairan. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum wa sallam. Bismillah wa rahmatullahi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah wa sallatu wa sallam ala Rasulullah wa alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we're continuing in the lesson on the exaggeration of the righteous people from the Kitab al-Tawheed. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah, Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima alamtana wa zidna ilma wa sallallahu wa fitna bima yuhibu wa yarda. Allahumma ati nafusana taqwaha wa zakkiha, anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha, amma ba'd. Salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Congratulations, and you know, may Allah bless you and enlighten your faces for attending the classes of ilm, which is one of the means of earning many rewards from Allah. And I ask Allah to accept from all of us, inshallah ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we have a continuation in the book Kitab al-Tawheed. And the title of this chapter is What Has Come Regarding the Cause of Disbelief of the Children of Adam and Them Leaving Their Religion, and That It Is Exaggeration in the Righteous People. And so here the author, Shaykh Abdul Wahhab, he brings the first ayah, which is, All people of the book, do not go to extremes in your religion, and do not say about Allah except the truth. And then in the Sahih on Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, regarding the verse, and Nuh alayhi salam, and he's saying about his people, وَقَالُوا, do not abandon your gods. The people of Nuh, they said, do not abandon your gods, and do not abandon Waddan and Suwa'an and Yaghutha and Waya'uqa and Nasra. These are five names of five righteous people that used to live amongst the people of Nuh. Ibn Abbas, he said, these five people, they were righteous people who died. And then the people, the shaytan inspired them to put in their places of worship statues or images of them. And at first they didn't worship those pictures of those righteous people. They would just put them there to remember those righteous people. And then after time went by, when those people died, their children started to worship those images of the righteous people. And also in another narration, it says that they would go to their graves and sit there and remember them. And then after a while they said, let us build a statue of them to remember them, how they look like. And when those people died, their children came, and they started to worship them. So in the beginning, these five idols were actually good, righteous people. And the people, they didn't intend to worship them and when they made the images of them, but as time went on, they exaggerated their status and made them objects of worship. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet said, "Do not exaggerate me like the Christians exaggerated the Son of Mary. I am just a servant." And say, "The servant of Allah and His Messenger." And also the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Beware of extremes. Indeed, the people before you were destroyed because of going to extremes." And finally, on Muslim, Ibn Mas'ud, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, "The people who exaggerate will perish." Halakal mutanatti'un, he said it three times. People who exaggerate things, who take them beyond the bounds. And here Shaykh Asadi, he says that in this chapter of what has caused the disbelief of the children of Adam, and that they left the religion because of exaggerating the righteous people, he said exaggeration, it means going beyond the boundaries, going beyond the limits, and making of giving the righteous people, the saints, the rights of Allah. Giving the saints and the righteous people what belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is only for Allah. Because it's the right of Allah and He doesn't have any partner in it, His perfection. Allah is the only one who is absolutely perfect. Allah is the only one who is absolutely rich and He doesn't need anything. Only Allah has that perfection. Everything else in creation is in need of Allah. Everything else in creation is impoverished to Allah, but only Allah is the one who is completely rich. And only Allah is the one who carries out everything in creation. He's the one who has the ability to command things in the creation. So from all the angles of these, the perfection, the complete richness, and the one who carries out everything, Allah has all of these aspects. And so nothing of the creation shares in that. Nothing in the creation shares in His perfection. Nothing in His creation shares in His richness, absolute richness. And nothing in His creation, not even the righteous people, they share in His carrying out the affairs of the universe. No. So whoever exaggerates in the creation, he gives something of the rights of Allah to the creation. When people, they exaggerate the status of a pious man, they give something of that, those perfect qualities of Allah to His creation. And so he's kind of making these righteous people similar to Allah, or the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And this is major shirk. To say that a created being, a human being, he has the power to affect the affairs of the universe, or he has the richness and he can give, or he has perfection, these are qualities of Allah. If somebody is giving that to the righteous people, then he's made them equal to Allah. And this is major shirk. Well, then the Shaykh here, he mentions that, you know, that there's three types of rights. There's three types of rights. There's the rights that only belong to Allah, and nobody in creation shares in them. These rights that belong to Allah are the right to be worshipped, the right to be the object of worship. It only belongs to Allah. Nothing in creation deserves that or has that right. Also, the having the hope and the love and the fear, that only having that type of true fear, religious fear and hope and love, That's only the right of Allah. Nothing in the creation should share in that. So this is the first type of rights. These are rights that only belong to Allah. To be worshipped, to be feared, to be have love for, to be hoped in. Then you have the type of rights that belong to the prophets. You have the rights that belong to Allah's prophets. And these type of rights are, for example, to be respected, to hold them in esteem, to give their special rights, that is, to be obeyed. These are rights that belong to the prophets. Are they the same as the rights that belong to Allah?
No.
They're completely different. And then the third type of rights are rights that are shared between Allah and His creation. And for example, the rights that are shared between Allah and His prophets. And for example, to be obeyed. Right? Do we have to obey Allah? Yes. Do we have to obey the Prophet? Yes. So this is something that both deserve. Also, to believe in them. Do we have to believe in Allah? Do we have to believe in the Prophets? So it's a right that's shared by both of them. Love. We have to love Allah. Do we have to love the Prophets? But the point, something very important here is that the essence or the basis of all love belongs to Allah. And we only love the Prophet and secondary to the love of Allah. Because Allah is the one that we love, and because He commanded us to love His Messenger, so the love for the Messenger is secondary to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people of wisdom, the people of knowledge, and the righteous people, they realize the difference between these rights. They take into account these three types of rights. They realize the rights of Allah and they don't give it to the prophets. And they realize the rights of the prophets, and they realize the rights that Allah has shared with His prophets, the right to believe in them, to love them, to obey them. But when it comes to worship, making dua, having love, fear and hope, then these are the rights that only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the close people to Allah, they differentiate between these things and they give each one their due right, inshallah ta'ala. So this brings us to the end of this chapter, inshallah.